Hi, and welcome to the Reiki from the Farm podcast, brought to you by me, Pam Allen LeBlanc from Hidden Brook Farm. I am a scientist, a businesswoman, and a licensed Reiki master teacher with the International Center for Reiki Training. Each week in this podcast, you'll be entertained as you learn about a wide variety of relevant Reiki topics, helping you become a more knowledgeable and effective Reiki practitioner. We caution you, though, this podcast may also dramatically improve your life, and we are so happy that you're here. On this week's podcast, I am talking to licensed Reiki master teachers Jill Teal and Jules Davis from Minneapolis and from California about Chapter 5, Marketing and Branding Your Reiki Business. Before we begin, I'd just like to let you know about some of the things we have coming up at the farm. If you would like to do online classes with us in the Australian time zone, which is early mornings in Australia and evenings in North America, and that's also mornings in most of Asia, we have those classes coming up starting right away, actually in March, level one and two class, Reiki master class, and also animal Reiki level one and two and masters. And in May, for those of you who would like to visit us, we've got some hybrid classes coming up. So that will include some in person and some online students. And those will be in the Atlantic time zone. So we'd love to have you join us. Once again, it's level one and two and master classes and ICRT animal Reiki level one and two and masters. And it is followed by Karuna Reiki and also animal communication. Jill, what have you got coming up on your schedule?
I have an animal Reiki online class coming up March 18th, 19th, 20th, I think it is. And then the following weekend, I have a Reiki 1 and 2 class. Each month, I teach classes. And so then in April, I have a Reiki 1 and 2. And then there's another master class at the end of the month coming up. And then in May, I have a animal Reiki class and a Reiki 1 and 2 class also in May.
Are those online, Jill, or in person or a company?
The animal Reiki is online. The rest of them are all hybrid. And so that means that I take people in person and online.
Wonderful.
So you can join from anywhere. And I'm in Minneapolis, so I'm central time zone.
Thank you. And Jules, what about you? You've got a lot going on too. What do you have coming up?
I have a Usui Reiki Master at the end of March, the 25th to the 27th. I have an Animal Reiki Master, I think, after that, the following weekend. I have the following weekend after that, the April 9th and 10th, I have level 1-2 of Usui Reiki. I also have at the end of the month a Karuna Reiki Master, and I have in-person crystal healer certification, and I'll have another psychic and mediumistic development long program starting in April as well. So there's actually quite a bit of class coming up starting at the end of March. All of my Usui and Karuna classes can be attended online or in person. Like Jill, I do hybrids. My animal Reiki classes are all online only, and my development class that I'm talking about is also going to be an online class in Pacific time, so people can join from all over as well.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jules. Guys, before we go too far, I'm just going to invite everyone to bring their hands together in Gassho and just call in their Reiki symbols. And today we're talking about bringing some of the real true business aspects into our Reiki businesses, and we're talking with a couple of experts in the field. So if you feel any nervousness or any reluctance or overwhelm at the thought of that, I invite you to just let that go now. Allow the Reiki to escort those emotions and energies into the light where they can be healed. And we just invite you to open your heart and your mind to the possibilities. And the field of possibilities is open to us today. We hope that you'll have some great ideas, some ideas that excite you after you listen to our conversation. And we wish you every success in your Reiki business and in your marketing and sales and branding and with the hard business skills. Thank you for being here with us today, and thank you for your willingness to share Reiki with others. Aum Atakwiyawasan and namaste. So thank you, girls. I just wanted to start off today. I had sent you each a link to the rough draft of this chapter. I haven't had an opportunity to edit it yet. And I know that you guys both took the time to have a look at it. So thank you for that. Jill, just starting with you, what did you think and what kind of stood out to you in the chapter?
Yeah, there was a lot of really good information in there just about social media tips, marketing stuff, website, a lot of really good information in getting started. I thought where you were talking about how it doesn't need to be difficult and that it can be simplified, and you gave really good tips just getting people started, making it easy for them and helping them to prioritize where they can start, what they need to do. So it doesn't seem so overwhelming.
Yeah.
Because I think when people do start a business, it can be overwhelming. You take your Reiki 1 and 2 class and master, and even after Reiki 1 and 2, you're able to go out and start working on people. And in classes, we touch on these subjects and stuff, and people are ready at different times, and the class is so life-changing. And so when people take 1 and 2, sometimes they don't listen to all of the business tips. And then in master, they're like, I didn't think I was going to start a business, and now Reiki's having me start a business, and I don't remember any of the things like if I need insurance or do I get a table. Or a student in a class this weekend that was telling me she was doing 5 clients a day and her body was hurting. And she was like, can I sit down? And I was like, yeah, you can sit down. And so then I wrote an article, Better Body Mechanics for Reiki. And so I was like, you need to read my article on Better Body Mechanics for Reiki, because that's a major thing. But some of these beginning things that people need in getting started and starting a business, and where to prioritize that, and where in different, you talked about Canva, PicMonkey, just resources. And so I found it to be very helpful. And I really like the information that you put in there.
Oh, thank you, Jill. I wonder if we can link your article to the podcast. So anybody who also is finding themselves, you know, in need of some body mechanics, would that be all right if we included
a link to that? Yeah, I also talk about in the article about tables, traveling, massage, working in hospitals, the various different environments as the new practitioner gets started as far as saving their body, self-care, wellness, and so forth. So it's a good article with a lot of good information for the new and maybe even not new somebody. Sometimes people are like, oh, I didn't think about that. So there's always more information we can learn, right?
Yeah, no, it sounds fantastic. And Jill, I know that you yourself are really amazing at marketing, and I'm going to come back and ask you for some tips later, because even you and I talked when my business was getting a little overwhelming. I had 3 businesses, and you really encouraged me to focus, and you really helped me to prioritize myself. So I certainly channeled a little bit of you in that chapter there.
I'm glad that I was helpful.
Very much so. Jules, just like Jill, I know that your business is incredibly successful and that you're very busy. And so what did you notice when you went through the chapter, and did anything stand out for you?
Yeah, I guess I would just concur with everything that Jill said, as well as figure out one thing at a time, maybe, so that it doesn't get so overwhelming. I'm not sure if you mentioned that in the chapter. I can't remember if that was mentioned, but just one thing at a time. But website, I know you stressed that's definitely an essential ingredient. When I started my business 9 years ago, it was a lot more complicated to make a website and customize it and figure out search engine optimization. And now there's so many tools out there just to make it really easy. plug and play stuff. So it doesn't matter how much you know about building websites. And that's how you'll get found, because especially people go in and search like Reiki certification in my area or Reiki practitioner in my area. And that's an essential ingredient. So I like that you really stressed that in the section, as well as reviews. I don't think that was mentioned in there, but getting your early clients to write about their experiences, because a lot of people will find your business, especially as a practitioner, but also as a teacher, through reviews, which then the review sites will want to link back to your website, and everything gets interacted with your social media. You mentioned setting up some social media stuff. That also can be a place where you put your website, because people, going back to the whole website thing, people want to know about you and they want to read more about you and find out information. So not just the web crawlers themselves, but your potential students and clients. And yeah, just focusing on one little task at a time, figuring out your content and how you want to present yourself to the world. And I think that there's some stuff about that in the chapter, as far as like branding and logo and who are you and all of that, I feel are quite essential ingredients in the early stages of a business, but they continue to be essential throughout your business.
Yeah, that's right. And I know that when I talked with Jill about that, you had even gone through a rebranding, and I wound up going through a rebranding. And just to, Jules, to follow up, the review sites, what review sites are you meaning?
And like Yelp is really important here. People use that a lot for looking to find practitioners or teachers. You can also, if you have a physical location, you can make a Google business page and you can have Google reviews for your business. And if you have a Facebook business page, you can turn on reviews for that. Those are probably the three main areas that people will find your information, but they will also find it in other places. And then other websites will take the reviews off of those review sites and post them themselves and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I found that to be an extremely helpful ingredient. Sorry to change the subject, but that was really helpful at the start of my business for having people help to find me.
Yeah.
And so some of my early clients, I was like, hey, would you mind sharing about your experience? And some people do, and they'll post about you and what they experienced during the session.
Thank you. Yeah, that's excellent advice. Thanks. Jill, getting back to you, can you tell us a little bit about when you got started with your Reiki business and just a little bit of branding and marketing advice that you would have for people based on your experiences? How did that all go for you?
Yeah, I've been doing this professionally for almost 20 years, getting close to that. And so I've gone through different versions of website and branding just based on the time and how things have changed with having different types of websites. Like Jewel said, it's gotten a lot easier now, and which is great because you don't need to necessarily hire somebody to have and pay a lot of money to have a really nice website and have it take months and months. But depending on the sort of options that you're offering on your website, you might need to spend more money. So it depends on what it is that you're going to do. When I first started off, I had a very basic sort of website, very simple, just with basic information. And in your book, you talked about having a business name. I can't remember what it was, but it was like something like Steve's Reiki. Maybe it was Steve's Reiki or something. So my original experience was it was like Jill Teal Massage Reiki. And so that business didn't do as well until I rebranded. And so then I branded to the Minnesota Reiki Center, and which is still focusing on Reiki, but my intention was to focus on Reiki in that business, where if I was incorporating like a crystal store and various things, then I may have selected a different name for that. By changing the name, as you suggested in your book, that made a huge significant difference. And the main thing is that when I rebranded, I really, and this is coming up, I feel like this is coming up, I'm hearing this, that authenticity is really important. And I had gotten sick for several years, autoimmune condition. Part of the rebranding came in for me was I had been working a lot of different jobs in the gig mentality. I was teaching a massage and body teacher at Aveda Institute in Minneapolis. I was gardening for people and growing food for people. And then I had my own Reiki business. And I felt like I was just getting pulled. And this is where I had suggested to you, Pam, like, you got to focus, because at some point it became too much. And when I got sick, this voice had said, what is it that you really want to do with your life? And it was Reiki. I really want to do Reiki. And it's time to let go of the other things, because you have to open these doors and you need to close some doors if you don't want to do those anymore, so you can put 100% into what it is that you want to do. And so when I was open to hearing that, I started working on the rebranding, and I just started listening for that content and writing my story. What have I been doing? So when people find it, what I get from people is that they really resonate with it. Like, they'll come to the website and go, I knew right away that you were the one, because my whole heart and authenticity was put into it. I think it's really important for people to understand that going the fastest route possible, copying, pasting from other people's websites and things, just really isn't the way to go. And even if they live in another state or they're not near you, it's not you. And so I always tell people to be inspired, find these people that you're inspired by, and then allow that to help you to create what it is that you want, but be you. And so it took a little bit. I didn't have that website done in a week or two. It took several months, and then listening for the right photos that came in. And I have a art and design background, so I use the photography and everything. It's all my photos and stuff that I use for it. I love Canva though. I do use Canva for design, because I have to create other content, but everything then was just me. And so when people go to that website, they can really feel me, and they know what is what you get. So they can see through the website already and feel the experience that they're going to get when they come to. And so that, I think, was the best decision that I made, was just as I was going through this sort of developing, taking time to listen. And some of it might come faster and some of it might take a little bit longer, but just allow whatever the process that's going to take place to let it take place and not try to rush that process. And so when you're ready to go, everything flows the way that it should. And so then when I launched the Minnesota Reiki Center, results very quickly happened for me. I went from having 1 to 3 person classes up to 16 person classes.
Wow.
And so I very quickly had to change. And now with COVID, things have changed and so forth. And I've moved locations and I work from my house. And so now I have 9 people, but then I can also have folks join online. So those classes can, with the hybrid, is to be able to reach more people and so forth. So I just see things evolving and expanding. It is a process. And I tell people that it's a really beautiful process, because you learn a lot about yourself. And the more, like, when you have something that comes up that's, I don't think I can do this, I need somebody else to do it for me, but you end up doing it. And it's really rewarding to be like, oh, I can do that now. And I didn't think that I could do that. And so you become an expert in all of these things. And that's how you teach people. That's how you help other people, is by doing it yourself. So it's been really amazing to grow just in skills. As I have a background in, as I mentioned, in art and design, and I can do all of these things on my own. I'm getting better and better at it as I continue to work with it, along with my skills and my practitioner skills. So I can see how they all work together. And as one evolves, so do all of the other parts of it. And it just keeps rising to a higher vibration. And I think that's what I have to say about that. Is that what you wanted?
Absolutely. And both of you have actually helped me, which is really why I wanted you. And I have an MBA, but I think that, and I know marketing. Actually, I am a marketer. And yet I really worked hard to keep marketing and business principles out of my business for a long time. And I'm also not as tech savvy as the two of you are. And so I think that I know you really helped me, Jill, when you said, because I also, like you, I had 3 businesses. I had horseback riding, essential oils, and my Reiki business. And I still do have all three. But when you said, you know what, you're spreading yourself a little too thin, you need to focus. And we talked about rebranding, and I'm actually still in the process of rebranding. My website isn't quite where it hasn't been redone yet. It's on the list right after editing the book and getting the book. And like you mentioned, I keep going through this book process thinking I need to hire somebody to do something. And then I find out that there's an app or a tool or something that can help me figure it out myself. And there's a real sense of pride in that as you go through that process. So I know what you mean. But when I did step back, and after something like 18 years of teaching horseback riding lessons, I realized, you know what, they didn't inspire me anymore. The horses inspire me, but I've just taught the lessons, the same lessons over and over so many times. And it was wonderful because I asked my apprentice, would you like to do that? And she said, yes. And she stepped right up, and I go out and help once in a while, but she runs the riding lessons now. And I was really able to focus on Reiki, and that, like yours, that allowed my Reiki business to expand really well and gave the opportunity to get this podcast in place and it created the space to write the book, to try to help others. Yeah. Thank you for that advice. And then, and now. And Jules, you helped me also. One of the things that was taking a lot of my time was managing my schedule and managing where people, and I was completely overwhelmed at the thought of putting my schedule online, and you walked me through that. And oh my gosh, I only started that last December. As Jill mentioned, it takes a little time sometimes for it to, you know, to make its way up the list and get addressed. But what a huge difference that makes in my life, the fact that people can just book sessions with me online and I don't need to manage it. And but you also, you are incredible at marketing and all of that. But tell me a little bit about your genesis and your story, like how you got started and how you got so good at it, and what tips you might have for people.
Sure. I feel like part of my background is in marketing because I was an event promoter for many years. So I do have a background in getting people in the door, essentially, I guess. We were making cut and paste flyers back in the day, 30 years ago, when we were doing these events almost. I was a teenager when I started promoting, but I also grew up in business. So I have a little bit of a leg up because my parents were both entrepreneurs, and I got to see how that worked and started working in my family's businesses since I was a little kid. So that was an advantage for me. And I know sometimes people are just like, how do I even get started? I have worked for myself as a self-employed individual since 2009. So I had another business before I started my Reiki business. But essentially, I think the first ingredient is just belief that it's going to work out. You have to self-educate. You have to have some tools. But just knowing that the Reiki is going to guide you and support you through the process. I initially started my business while I was still doing other stuff. And like Jill said, once you have your focus and you put all of your attention, or you guys were just talking about, once I gave up the other job, because that was my safety net, that was where all the money was coming in. So it was like Reiki was like my hobby kind of part-time business that I was growing on the side. But it didn't really get all of my attention because I was so busy doing other stuff. And once the other thing went out of the way and I could focus 100% on growing my Reiki business, exploded quite a bit. And what's been really helpful for me just in the last couple years with COVID is when you don't have a social life or a social calendar full of things, you have a lot more time to focus on your business. So all of my extra efforts and energies that were output have really gone back into my business. But the genesis of my business was me going through some pretty transformational times in my life, which brought me to Reiki, some serious injuries and things of Jill. Health stuff often is a big, hey, take care of you. And then as you're taking care of you, it's telling you, you need to help other people sometimes. It doesn't happen for everybody, but that's what happened for me as well. and learning as much as I could. When I started my business, I was in a licensed holistic health practitioner certification program as well. It was multiple certifications. I had been doing intuitive development stuff, and I was also learning Reiki and crystals and all these different other things. So my brand became Healing with Jewels initially because I didn't know what that looked like. I just knew that I was going to help people heal, and I didn't want to be specifically tied to just one of those things. So my website became healingwithjewels.com. And then maybe shortly after I purchased that domain and started building that website, Auralux came in as my business name because I really like golden light kept coming in. It's kind of a weird way that I got to this name, but golden light kept coming in with the Reiki energy for me. And so I was going to have my business called Lux Aurae or something like that, which is golden light in Latin. Don't ask, it was just somehow I was drawn to that. And it just wasn't really rolling off the tongue for people. It was a little bit of a mouthful. And Lux is light, and or Lux, light is Latin for light. And all of this is just light. When I tune into energy, it's just this kind of energy. It's light for me. And then also, I always felt the light just expanding in my auric field. So even though aura in Latin means wind, I chose it as the aura that we refer to in the spiritual community. Auralux just became my brand name, and that's how I got that name, and it's just stuck with me ever since. But my website, even though I own like Auralux websites and all these other websites, I stayed with Healing with Jewels because it just was what people knew. And it just became part of my brand, that name. And lots of my students have replicated that and used Healing With, and then the end is their name with that as well. So just learning, I did hours of research on YouTube of how to do search engine optimization and HTML coding. Like I said, back then, you didn't have access to that. So I just self-taught. I would spend hours and hours learning how to do all of these things that were updates from even when I was a promoter and working in the music industry and all of that stuff. So I'm constantly re-educating myself. And I think that's also really important. If you're not hiring people to do every aspect of your business, learning how to, I also work with Canva. That's an amazing tool for creating banners for your event pages or things of that nature, and also different aspects of your website you can do, or newsletters. I've been using it to create these really beautiful newsletters lately, which you mention in your book as well. So I'm constantly going further than what you asked, but I'm always re-educating myself on how to get into better marketing tools. What's the latest? Years ago, Meetup was really helpful, and Meetup fizzled out, and people went over to Eventbrite. And so I'm still on both, and now people go to other things, and just constantly, what's the latest thing? How can I stay in the mix, in the fold? And just to piggyback on all of that stuff, when the pandemic started, I was like, how do I help? That was, how do I help? What can I do? And I used to have these full moon and new moon meditations that I would do in person with a sound bath and a Reiki meditation. And I did those for years. And so I was like, I'm going to do a meditation on Zoom. And my first one, we had almost 100 people online. And it's been consistent like that. So I stayed doing that. And I just said, for free, just join online. How can I help? This is how I'm going to help. And I think one of the best marketing tools, and if you look at a lot of successful businesses, is offering something for free. So that's also something that I would suggest to people who are getting started with their business or who want to grow their business to a wider market. So I started offering these free meditations, and then people started joining from all over the world. And so suddenly my reach expanded beyond my local reach that I had, and then I'd done some media spots and had all these wonderful opportunities living in Los Angeles. So people had already known about me from other places, but this really helped to have a consistent connection with people all over the world, which has in turn really helped the revenue of my business by offering something free because people get a sample of who I am and what it's like to be in my company as a practitioner and as a teacher, etc. So that's something that I've stayed doing for the last couple of years and has also really been instrumental in my business. But that requires setting up these events in multiple locations and making sure people know about them. And so there's a lot of marketing that goes into offering a free event. There's still a lot of time and effort and energy that goes into it, but it's like a advertising tool in a way. But it was born from a good intention, which has stayed there. So now we have this community of people who's from all over the world who knows each other. Oh, where's that person? They're not on the meditation today. They ask about each other, the regulars. And so I know that was a lot more than what you asked me for a question.
That's exactly what I was looking for, Jules. No, that's perfect. And we were just chatting a little bit before the call, and all three of us we're very busy. And you had a comment, Jules, just sometimes people start a business and just expect it to take off, but it takes a lot of work. And just, you mentioned the hours and hours to promote a free event, and exactly right. And to prepare for that event. And I just do a free online Reiki share every week, every month. And then I actually do this podcast every week for free. And they are wonderful tools, because people get a chance to meet you and they decide if they like your style and then maybe come to your class. But they are an awful lot of work. So it can be a lot of work. But I love, Jill, how you said just one thing at a time. Like, don't. Yeah. And it's interesting. All three of us have gone through a rebranding. Mine was, my business was Hidden Brook Farm, and that was perfect for when I had riding lessons and essential oils, but after a while, and the rebranding process was similar. I listened, but what's funny is I didn't hear Reiki from the farm at first. I had this other idea that I really was stuck on. And one of the things that I read said, go ahead and put a poll out to your people. And I, like you guys do, I have a private Facebook group of everybody who has studied with me. And we stay in touch pretty regularly. But I went ahead and put a poll and I realized, oh, wait, I only have two options. I should give them at least a third option. And I just typed really quickly, Reiki from the farm. Reiki from the farm was hands down. But the other, I didn't think I wanted to include the farm, because I thought, well, no, I don't want to exclude people who aren't on a farm, that anybody can take Reiki. But the more I listened and I talked with Colleen about it, she goes, but that's who you are. Before you do your Reiki classes, you've got to go feed the horses and walk the dogs and make sure the water's running and do all of the things that you do. So you really are Reiki from the farm. But it is funny, at first it didn't ring for me, but then as I really listened in, I realized, yeah, that actually is exactly who I am. And Colleen had a great suggestion with regards to name and branding, and that is to sit down and write an article about, once you have the name, like why, just for yourself, like why it is who you are, and just let that sink in. So I love that. Guys, I just wanted to check in with you about, were there any obstacles or any difficulties that you guys experienced with your own marketing and branding and getting things going? And Jill, I'll check in with you first, but was there anything that showed up for you that was difficult or an obstacle that you had to overcome?
For me, writing was an obstacle for me. I think we all have different obstacles, and going through the LRMT program, the licensed teacher training program through the ICRT, does help you. If you don't know what that is, that program will help to show you where that might be. And so for me, it came up as writing. I didn't realize that I had trauma around it. I have dyslexia. And so I was really scared to do that. And writing articles, Colleen would say, let's help you become an expert in your field. And so it's important to write articles. And that really scared me. And that is a way to market, by getting out content and stuff, because I have a lot of really good stories and a lot of good information, but I lacked the confidence that I could share that, because at one point in my life, somebody told me that I was a bad writer. Aww. And, but through holy fire and Reiki, it healed that. And when I wrote my first article, which was Reiki for Gardening, and then the one of my photos was the cover magazine, and I was receiving all of this lovely feedback, wow, you're a great writer. And I'm like, I am a great writer. And it really surprised me. And this part of me is healed. And so that's grown. And I'm working on another article now, a Reiki and massage, like working with Reiki and modalities. And I've been wanting to write that for a while. So I've working on that article, but now I have six articles or something like that. And I'd like to have more, but from going from feeling like I couldn't write at all to feeling confident in writing. And what I realized around that was that we all have a story and people edit your writing. Okay. And so you just have to write your story and then you have somebody edit it for you. And through this process, I am now a better writer. And so that was something that I struggled with. Other things, I am an expert on social media, but I struggled with social media for a while because you talk about in your book, like how people find it to be toxic and stuff. And during the time when I was working on my health and coming up with this new branding, I had to put social media aside for a little bit and develop a healthier relationship with it. And it was through the Reiki community that I was able to determine what sort of frequencies I wanted around my social media, and that it was really my choice on the things that I wanted to look at and what I wanted to see and what I wanted to put out there. And when that piece healed, then all of a sudden, now I'm the manager of the ICRT social media. So it's funny how you can go from, I don't think I like something at all to, oh, you know what? I can do this. And so again, it's sort of these things where you have these obstacles that come up, and that's what you're talking about. Have you had some obstacles? And so I just think it's important for people to, if something feels uncomfortable, why is that? And that's an opportunity to heal something. If you're only, let's say, just doing all of your marketing on social media, you're good at it, you're missing a huge audience, as Jules had talked about, like website probably really is the most important thing other than word of mouth, which you talked about in the book. And there are a lot of other ways on how you get your clients and your students. And so it's important to have social media, but you can't put everything into that because you're missing out on finding other people. As you're going through this, you do have obstacles. So it's important to overcome them and then to work on them. And so now I feel very comfortable with those things. And then I feel like it's a nice balance. And I also, like in the Reiki Master Manual, it talks about like how your outer reflection is, how things are going on the outside is a reflection of what's going on the inside and vice versa and what you're attracting and so forth. And so I find it to be important to just meet these things head on and face these fears, especially around business and marketing, because it is important, but it isn't as hard as we think that it is. And if you just take one step at a time, you will get better and better and your business will continue to grow.
Oh, thank you. That's awesome, Jill. Thanks. And Jules, thank how you. About you? What were some of the obstacles that you know that you had to get through, and how did you find that?
Yeah, I was thinking about your question of have I had obstacles. I think my biggest challenge is just time.
Yeah.
I think I saw a quote one day of entrepreneurs will spend 80 hours working a job to be self-employed of what, you know, normally would be a 40-hour work week if you worked for somebody else. Something like that are priorities. So for me, it's more time management. And I joke in my classes sometimes that I'm a recovering perfectionist or a sort of recovering control freak. And I think I've always been everything in my business, and I'm starting to learn that maybe isn't as productive of a way to go. So I think we're all blessed in the sense that we did put a lot of effort into building these amazingly successful businesses. But I probably would have started out sooner with some delegation. And so I'm trying to do that and become better about that now of getting some support. It might cost you some money up front, but then you actually are saving time, which can get reinvested in other aspects of your business. So that's where I'm having a big lesson, I feel now. Even with, I have a side note, but I just got a new office space. So I'm like, should I paint it myself? Like, I have time for that. To save a few hundred dollars, or should I just have a painter paint it? And it was clear that I should have the painter paint it because they're going to do a much more efficient job. It's going to be a lot less stress on my plate, and I do have the financial means to pay for that. And so I have to stop doing everything myself. That's been my biggest lesson, I'll say, of learning. But the great thing about having done so many things myself and being so motivated to learn is that I do know, I think Jill mentioned this earlier, I do know the ins and outs of every aspect of my business and how to do all of those things, which gives me a clearer picture of how I can delegate to people because I know what I want. So there's nothing wrong in doing everything or learning everything, but at some point this deep into my business, I probably should have been delegating earlier than I am now.
Wow, I think that's excellent advice, Jules, for NA. Actually, it is in a slightly different section, but I did cover that. And we've all had the same mentor going through. We've all worked with Colleen Benelli going through the Licensed Reiki Master Teacher Program. And she has a strong business and reaches a lot of people, but she also has a lot of assistants. And she encouraged us to do the same. And one of the things that I was like you, I was doing everything myself. And one of the things I thought of was, I don't really want to give up some of the business side of things. So what do I want to give up? And I wrote a list of my tasks, and I wrote what I want to keep doing and what I don't want to keep doing. And so I chose really different things to delegate. Like I take my dogs to the groomer now instead of trying to do it myself and breaking my back. And I hired somebody to do my gardening and somebody to do my housekeeping. And somebody to help me with social media. And so, because I still want to send my emails, and there's certain things that I still want to write my newsletters and do my podcast. So but it's excellent advice. And sometimes it's often money well spent. I remember my accountant asking, I said, I was trying to figure out whether I wanted to hire somebody or to do my own taxes. And he said, let me ask you this, how much do you make an hour? And I told him, and he said, now, how many hours is it going to take you to do your taxes? And I told him, and he said, so you see, this is what it would cost for me to do it. Don't you think you'd be better off out there doing what you do, what you're good at, and let me do what I'm good at? And I thought, that's some of the best advice I ever got. And then in turn, he's so much better. Not only do I not love doing taxes, but he's so much better at it than I am that he's aware, oh no, you can charge this and you can save money here and save there. And so he's paid for himself like 10 times over every year. So I love that. Girls, let's talk a little bit about social media, because social media, we talked about websites, and that is really a great place to start and one of the most important ingredients. But people are very interested in social media. It can be a good way to get your name out there, but it can also be a huge sink of our time if it's not managed properly. And I did try to cover that a little bit, just taking one or two platforms that you really like and going there rather than spreading yourself too thin on all of the platforms. But I know you guys both are excellent at social media. And so, what advice do you have for people around that? And Jill, I'll start with you again.
That's a good question.
Again, authenticity is huge. So I did a presentation last year with Karen Kegg and Robin Benelli on social media, and this is still coming up, but just keep hearing authenticity. Having personal pages, business pages, and things, I think it's really important to make sure that it's very professional and that you're not creating sort of trauma-based responses to things that could be negative to people. people, because we have to consider every person is a potential client or customer. And part of the unification consciousness is being open to helping all people to heal. And we want all people to be able to reach Reiki. And if we turn somebody off because of our own beliefs, then we may turn them off from Reiki, which will then make it so they may not be able to use this precious life to be able to have this tool to help them to heal. And so I am really careful. I'm very passionate about my beliefs, and I think it's really important. But I think that when we're creating posts, I always go into that space of Reiki ahead of time to make sure that I'm creating this post from Reiki versus creating this maybe from a place that could be unhealed, that could potentially be harmful or hurtful to another individual. So I always think about that. And then I'm always thinking about authenticity, not looking at what other people are doing. What do I want to do? Because it, again, it shows if you're copying or trying to do things, it shows, people feel that. And so sometimes Karen Keg talked about in the presentation that she had to go in with like her hair and like a hair wrap because it was getting done. And she was like, this wasn't how I wanted it to be, but it went really well. And it was, you know, just a demonstration of authenticity, how people don't care. They would rather see you being you than to see you being somebody else. And especially now, it's really easy to see. And so a lot of people could have accounts and have people following them and have a lot of numbers, but it's not really, in my opinion, based on how many people follow you. It's the content and the message that you're delivering, and how are you helping other people, and how is this message helping other people versus inflating you? Or so I really work on selflessness and compassion. And so not posting it for me, posting it to help everybody. And so when I go about social media, and my main reason for wanting to do the ICRT social media is that I put more into the ICRT page to help the bigger than to help me. My best designs go into that. And then whatever creative I have left for my personal stuff is what I have left. And because I want to raise I want to help all the LRMTs and all Reiki practitioners more than I want to help myself. And because when we have that sort of attitude of helping all, generosity, compassion, then that includes you. And so then you are included in that intention. And so I also am mindful when I'm scrolling, mindful when I'm looking, mindful when I'm looking at people's pages, and mindful of my thoughts of what I think about other people's posts and pages and the energy that I'm putting out around other people. The way how social media is that it can become very easy to have negative thoughts and energy if you don't like something, and that's all energy that you're putting out there. And so you want to be very aware with that. And so that's what I'm hearing right now and what drives my page. As far as like a strategy and so forth, it's always improving. I'm getting better and better. I feel like, wow, I just with practice, but everyone can do whatever they want to with their page. You could have it focused on that. You might have some personal stuff. As you get more professional, though, you will come up with daily posts where you might be having like, here's my class schedule. Then you have a quote. Then you're sharing something else about Reiki. And maybe then you're sharing somebody else's post. And you come up with a strategy on around your brand. But in the beginning, it can just be checking in with Reiki and then seeing where you're guided. And so there are a lot of different ways that you could take social media. And I also find that you don't have to post every single day. You can post, different people might suggest different things. You need to do this or you shouldn't do that. And I think that you do what feels right to you. And if it's coming from this place of love and compassion, then that is where it needs to be. And so that's my strategy.
I love that. Just always make sure whatever you put out there is coming from a place of love and compassion. And I try to do that too, leave my opinions aside, because I don't want to alienate people who may need help or may who I might be able to connect with. And I've also noticed Reiki is softening my opinions anyway. So that helps. Jules, how about you? What suggestions would you give people around social media, and what do you do?
First, set up an account. That's a good start, a good starting point. And I recommend figuring out what kind of content you want to share, like Jill was just suggesting, but also giving a little bit of insight and flavor into who you are. So I really liked what Jill just said about authenticity, because people do want to see and get a glimpse of you in some way. Who are you? What are you presenting to the world? For me, social media, I'm active enough to stay engaged, but again, that time management thing, I don't post as consistently as I would like to with sharing information. So it is something that will become more of a priority for me soon when I can delegate some of that responsibility to somebody else. I also really think that people enjoy videos and other things, which is why TikTok took off so much. People want to learn stuff. A couple years ago, I got tapped by TikTok to be a creator for them to create learning content. So I was creating educational content at the beginning, kind of stages of the pandemic in like May 2020 or something like that. And so I went through their program really learning. They had a lot of trainings and workshops on how to be successful on TikTok. And I initially was posting consistently because to meet the requirements of their program, I had to post basically every day. So I did that because I had the time. We were shut down here in California, so I had all the time in the world to do some of that, some of those things. And but what it really helped me to see is that with consistency, you can really build a followership. So it depends on what you want to use social media for. If it is a marketing platform, you probably do want to be engaged, at least in like sharing a story or a post here and there as often as is possible for you. That's my perspective of just growing followership. Like the ICRT is really great. Thanks to Jill even for creating that, about having a daily, at least once a day, I think they post, right, Jill? And that's really grown the social media account for the ICRT like exponentially over the last couple years, I think, that it's been in existence. So there is something to consistent engagement. There's also something with social media, different generations, like you'll reach them in different ways. So I find my younger students check me out on social media, or they found me on social media. That's how they come in. So it is good to post and engage. And I've also learned discernment about posting. Not that I was really posting anything flagrant or racy on my social media, but just to be like, yeah, who am I? What do I want to put out to the world? And what kind of clients and students do I want to attract back into my world? And so that level of professionalism, I feel, is also important. And giving people an opportunity to just get a little glimpse. Sometimes one of my sort of professional accounts is personal, so I get to share a little bit more on that account about my personal stuff. And then I have my business account where I post more business-oriented things as well. So you still can have a personal social media going simultaneously where you might share some different things, but just that I feel is important to have a little bit of separation as well. So I would recommend that you have your brand and content style for your business, and then you can have a personal one where you share some other things. So I'm engaged in my Instagram and Facebook probably more than I am with TikTok, but again, that time stuff. One of the rooms in my new location is going to be actually set up for content creation so that I have that ready to go and I can just do it instead of it having to be a thing where I have to set up and create and just like all these extra steps make it less manageable at times when you're busy. I don't know if I answered your question, but that's essentially how I've been engaging with social media, sharing positive things. I really agree with Jill about that. Like, we're inundated with just heaviness, I feel, on social media. So how can you, like Reiki, be that bright light that helps be a candle of energy that goes out into the world and ignite other people? I also feel like people don't want to just see marketing about your business. Like they don't want to just see posts of when you're having events or classes or things of that nature. They also want to see other kinds of content. So I would mix it up instead of it just be promoting things consistently. That's my feeling. People like to see a mixture of things in the content.
Yeah, totally. And like you, Jules, time is my biggest issue with regard. I've got great plans for my social media.
If I could be 27 people, it would all be
Right?
if there were 50 hours a day.
Yeah, got to look into that, but using the distance symbol and extending the days. Love that. Just what do you guys have to say? And Jules, I'll start with you this time. What do you have to say for someone who feels a little overwhelmed by all of this, by the marketing, or who feels maybe not up to the task? What advice would you give them?
Just start with one thing at a time. So you don't have to be on every social media platform. You don't have to be engaging in everything all at once. That is definitely overwhelming. You can start with a website. Like I said, review sites I feel could be really helpful and beneficial for people locating your business right away. Set up your Instagram and social media accounts so that you have the name registered that you want to use so nobody else can take it after you've started your business. And then engage with those things as you get more comfortable and knowing maybe somebody will come into this and they are young and very comfortable with social media, but they're not comfortable with something else. So whatever you feel more drawn to work with initially, I feel should be where people can get started more easily and not feel overwhelmed by. And the other things can be learned or
Yes.
delegated over
And
time.
validated. Exactly. Because this can be overwhelming.
Yeah. Even writing newsletters can be overwhelming. I can't keep up with that. I'm really grateful that Eventbrite has a tool now where everybody that signed up through events for me on there can get these email marketing campaigns that are just take me a few minutes to set up instead of a whole beautiful newsletter, which takes a lot more time for me. It's just there's lots of different ways that you can navigate setting these things up, but not overwhelming yourself. I think that's the thing. Putting like 12,000 tasks on your plate is going to be overwhelming. But if I'm just doing my website and creating that one step at a time, and just maybe sh set short-term goals, like in 3 months, I'm going to post my first social media post or whatever. But just getting them organized so that they're ready to go when you have the time and space to do those things or learn them. That would be my tip.
It sounds like you're saying too to just be gentle with yourself because this is,
Always.
yeah.
Always, because we're gonna learn. It's a learning curve. I think it was Jill that mentioned the business will grow and evolve, and you always have new opportunities to recreate, adapt, rebrand, get better, get more professional. My business has been going for a long time, and I've had success since pretty early on, but I'm constantly getting better at the things and more professional as I go along and really presenting myself in a different way over time. So you don't have to start there. You'll get there through doing. That's what I feel. So just start where you're at and be okay with that and know that you'll grow through the process.
And that it doesn't have to be perfect. That's so true. Like when I look at some of the my initially my email was literally just an email. I would sit down and type once a month and type up like what was happening on the farm, and people loved to get it. And but eventually my list got bigger, and you're right, it just keeps getting more and more professional. But I love that. Start where you are because it doesn't have to. I've been teaching since 2011. I think we've all been teaching and doing this for quite a while. It's been a growth. It's been a learning and a growth experience, and we have to start somewhere. Even when I look back at my original podcast, they've shifted and changed because it's, yeah. Thank you. What about you, Jill? What advice would you give?
I like what Jill said, and I would agree with that. I think that I would add maybe that if you're having a hard time figuring out how to do that, you can always use Reiki to help you to prioritize and to help you to figure out like how to do what Jules was saying. Sometimes we can get caught up in our head and we don't know what to do. And we are in all these different starting, like you start one project and then you don't finish it. And so maybe you have a hard time finishing things or following through. So Reiki can be really good at helping you to do that, activating Reiki. I know in some of my decisions, when I find myself in my head, I can't figure out, I remember, oh, I have Reiki for this. So I simply put that intention out to Reiki and say, what is the best place for me to be teaching and offering Reiki classes? And then I just wait and I listen. And then the information will come in. We tend to try to control things. And a lot of times we base, again, these decisions on the past, and then it's out of worry. And so we're living in the past, and we're living in the future, and we're spinning, and we're trying to control the process instead of just letting it happen. And so then we're not really even able to enjoy the process as it goes, because we're living in the state of fear and worry constantly of, is this going to work? Is this happening? And what we're not realizing is that those decisions, we're not really in that space of Reiki when our brains are constantly narrating some sort of a story about what's happening based on these things that maybe happened in the past, why it might not work versus this stuff in the future is going to work. And then we just try to control the process. And then it's, well, then we're not enjoying it as we're doing it and enjoying the other things and just really being present. So I do encourage people to really be present when an idea comes up, to listen to that idea, but try not to allow their head to take them into over controlling the idea and then listening like holy fire when that came in. William didn't just one day like, hey, he got the whole thing in 24 hours. This, we think about these pieces and all of this information comes in over a course of time. And so patience is important in doing this. And so you always have Reiki. So if you find yourself receiving, and a lot of times when the guidance comes in, it's just, you're not trying for it to come in. You have a thought and then it just comes in. You're in a meditative state. Maybe you're gardening, maybe you're painting, you're driving, you're doing something where you're not like trying to think about it. And then your brain has a moment, a break, and then you receive that information and then just sit with that information. And then, okay, what else do I need to do? And then listen for it. So you are being divinely guided by the Reiki energy and you're moving beyond you doing the work. And so you can make it easier for you. So that has been helpful. And I would recommend that. And the other component would be, which is totally separate from this, it's just as you're starting off business is, or, and Jules had talked about getting the domains and things, but also just being aware of like copyrights and trademarks are some things just to be aware of around various things in using logos, photos. And so just being mindful about any licensed content. So Canva becomes a great resource. You talk about the stock photos, various things in your book where people can get things from. If you're using your own content, but getting permission, something looks nice and you're like, oh, I'm just going to use that for this. There is laws around that. And so sometimes people aren't completely aware of that when they get started with content. And that's not a really hard thing to look into, but it is something just to be aware of. And that would be one other thing that I would add to that.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up, Jill. That's something that I hadn't included, but I think I will need to rewrite that section to be sure I mentioned that in the book. So thank you. Guys, before we move on to a meditation, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners? Jules, is there anything you'd like to add? Or have we covered everything pretty well?
I was like, is there anything that I want to add? I think just, you know, when it comes to starting a spiritual business, there are a lot of logistical things to learn about and know about. But just as Jill mentioned, letting the Reiki help guide you through the process and putting the trust out there that you will be supported. Because in my own experience, we need more of us out there, which is why we're all teachers, teaching other people to be practitioners and teachers. And the Reiki wants more of us out there. So just trusting that you'll be supported through the process and that you can always call on it, like Jill just mentioned. I use that a lot of making big decisions, of knowing like it's okay because I know that I'm supported by this energy that wants this to be created. So it doesn't mean that I'm just letting the energy do the work all the time. In this sense, I have to be proactive and productive as well, but I never feel like I'm leaping alone. I always have the support of Reiki and the beautiful spiritual beings that support me through my spiritual work as well. And so calling on them when you're stressed or worried or concerned or to make a decision, things that we've already covered here today, will help you in choosing the right platforms and the right tools for you and your business, but also just knowing that you're supported unconditionally in this process. It makes it feel less alone, of going out there and starting your own business, because that can be quite scary to a lot of people. I don't think I realized how scary that was because it just seemed so natural to me because I grew up around entrepreneurs. So to me, it was like a no-brainer. And then I was talking to other people about starting their own business, and there was so much fear there. And so I had to sit with understanding that in a different way and having compassion for people with that and helping give as many tools as I can as a teacher to help people feel more confident and comfortable in taking that leap and doing it.
I love that.
So we can also help by, through our work, we can help get people more supported, which in a way comes back to marketing. Once you get those people in your space, then you can help them create this thing for them that then goes on to a chain of a lineage that we're creating through the Reiki energy of more people around this energy, more people creating, more people doing the work. So just in knowing, that's an inspiration for me to keep doing what I'm doing, because I know that everybody we help to bring to Reiki, bring somebody else to Reiki, and or just in a kindness, in a way that they interact with somebody out in the world, and that's helping us on a global level. So ultimately, that's the best marketing tool that we have is like people experiencing Reiki and then going out into their communities and showing that transformation, and then that's a supportive kind of process that goes out. So anyways, that's my additional ramble to add to your question.
Love that tool. Thank you. Jill, how about you? What else? Is there anything you'd like to add?
I think Jules covered it really well, so I'll just keep it pretty short there. I was just going to say that I think it's important as you're going forward and as you look back, like not looking at it on a day to day, do your work and then 6 months look back and a year look back. You'll really see the strides that you make. If you're trying to compare it from day to day, we have good days, we have bad days. But when we look back, just like Reiki, you take Reiki one and two, and you're like, I don't know. And then 6 months later, you're like, wow, I can really see this. The same thing is with starting a business or anything. Over time, you will see that it works and that it's working, but try not to, get discouraged if you're not seeing like immediate results. Look at those little small, like the maybe you didn't get a client, somebody because talking to them, they're going to refer a client. What's the positive out of it? And I guess that would be maybe what I would add to it is just giving yourself that time and space in between to just see and celebrate how far. If one gets to a place where they're starting their own business, they're really serious about Reiki and you're meant to be doing it. And not everybody starts a business in Reiki. So you do have to trust that and believe in yourself that there's a reason that you're doing that. And so just celebrate that and every little step that you take is something to celebrate because having a Reiki business is a wonderful thing. And I can't think of anything else that I would want to be doing.
Me neither. And I know one of the things that I try to encourage people throughout the book and the chapters that I didn't send you guys was to create the business that's right for them. And it doesn't necessarily have to be sessions and classes. Like it might be woven into a career that they already do, or they might be changing careers, but weave Reiki into that. And but I think all of your advice is appropriate regardless of what somebody is doing with the Reiki energy.
Yeah. I wanted to add something that I just thought was more articulate as well. Of marketing is not always instantaneous. We're planting seeds.
Oh.
And so people might not come to you immediately, the fruits of your labor of marketing and content creation and all of that. I've had people that say, oh, I've been watching your stuff for years, and yeah. Then they finally come in. So maybe you'll get an instantaneous response, but it also is cumulative. Jill was just saying, look back over 6 months or a year, but just to go on and extend from that is that marketing is not always an immediate reward. It is a cumulative reward where people come over time of monitoring and watching your stuff. And that can be your website, your review sites, your social media, all of it. People can be watching for some time before they take the leap.
Oh my gosh, that is great advice, Jules. I think that's going to have to be the quote at the top of the chapter because it's so true. We're planting seeds and it really does take some time. And oh my word, you guys have just added so much beautiful advice and information and just everything. I want to thank you so much for taking time out to be on the podcast. I'd just like to wrap up by leading everyone in a short prayer and meditation just to open the opportunity for them and just to release anything that would get in the way for their own marketing and their own promotion. So I'm just going to invite everyone to take a moment now and bring your hands once more into Gassho, activating your Reiki energy. And then just placing one hand on your heart and one on your throat. Just inviting any stress or overwhelm or anything that would get in the way of your authentic voice and your authentic self. And communicating that with the world. Letting go of any reluctance, any fear. And just inviting your authentic voice to come forward in your throat chakra. Your authentic messages to come through the Reiki energy. And just inviting the light of learning to flow through you so that you can step forward into this new venture and learn. Learning as we go, we're all learning. The methods and the modalities and the platforms are continuously changing. And so just keeping an open mind and letting go of the energy of perfectionism. Letting go of impatience. Anything that would hinder us along the way. And we invite the energy of gentleness to flow through ourselves. So that we'll be gentle with ourselves as we step into this process. We invite the Reiki energy to help us with priorities and also with finding the time to put into this. And what can already be a busy day? Finding the motivation and the inspiration allowing you to be you, and sharing and spreading your beautiful light with the world. Thank you for saying yes to sharing Reiki with others, to spreading your light and the light of Reiki on the planet collectively. As we do this, it significantly raises the vibration of the earth. And we are blessed to be of a lineage of light bringers who are creating wellness on the earth today. We appreciate how deeply you care and your willingness to share. Thank you. Just for today, we will not worry. We will not be angry. We will be filled with gratitude and devoted to our work and kind to everyone. We say thank you to the teachers who come before us, our beautiful lineage of Reiki masters and practitioners and teachers, the ones that brought us to Reiki. And say thank you to you as you are becoming that practitioner or that teacher that will bring the beauty of Reiki into the hearts of others. Ahom Atakriyasam. Namaste and Amen, Amin, Ashe, Shalom. And so it is. Thank you. Ladies, I just want to thank you. You're some of my favorite people. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here today and for the wonderful information, ideas, and messages that you had for everyone. And I want to also say thank you to the listeners. We really appreciate you and the light that you're spreading in the world. Namaste.